How would you like to create a retirement plan that works for you? In today's episode, Laura Rabine will tell us how to do it. And what's so special about Laura is that she's the founder of Impavid Wealth Advisors, a franchise of Ameriprise Financial. And with 30 years of experience, Laura helps professionals and retirees turn financial confusion into clarity. And she's also the author of Fearless Finance, a practical guide to retiring with confidence. And if you've ever asked, do I have enough for retirement? This episode is for you. So, Laura, tell us about what can someone do to create a retirement plan that works for them?
Welcome to Awakened Titans Podcast with Lily Patrescu. Mind-blowing conversations with influential business titans sharing how you can manifest abundance, love, joy, success through quantum awakening, quantum manifestation, quantum healing, quantum miracles, exponential business growth, and innovative products and services.
Well, I find that, and thank you for having me today. I'm so excited to be here and talk about this. But I find that with individuals, it's actually creating the retirement plan. Everybody can think, well, I want to retire at a certain age, or they think about, you know, the rule of thumbs, I need a certain percentage of my wages or my earnings to survive in retirement, but they haven't really put together a plan. And so what I help and walk people through is literally putting together the numbers of creating the plan to continue to evolve that plan throughout their lifespan.
Thank you. So why don't people have a plan for retirement? And is it that they miscalculate how much they will actually need to get there?
In the 30 years, and I've been in business, I can't believe it's been 30 years, but in the 30 years I've been in business, I have sat across the table from so many highly educated professional people that it's not that they miscalculate or they overestimate, or they don't have the tools necessarily to figure out how to do the calculation. They might have a vision in their mind of retiring in the mountains or retiring on a beach somewhere, or, you know, everyone's vision is slightly different, but people might have the thought in their mind of what they want retirement to look like, but they don't necessarily have the tools to put together the plan to make the numbers work.
Thank you. What are the most common questions that people have in terms of having the right retirement plan?
The reality is a lot of people come in and they have the framework in their mind, but they don't have the clarity around it. They don't know how necessarily to truly incorporate the things that people overlook, the risk of inflation, tax law changes, those types of things, longevity, how long might they, you know, how many years do they have to plan for a nice way to say it, of living in retirement. So they just don't know how to make that math work specifically.
Thank you. Tell us about what kind of things should someone put in place for retirement in terms of, is it trust? Is it, take us through the exact steps that someone would have to go through to prepare their retirement plan, including, for example, let's say if they want to exit their business and all the other different things that you would go through with someone, like some commandments that you would go through someone to kind of set up their retirement plan that works for them.
Well, I would start it in the first step of creating an inventory. And that sounds sort of simplistic or easy, if I say it that way. To me, it sounds that way, but I don't mean it that way. And you can take somebody that is younger and has 20 or 30 years to go before retirement, or you could take somebody who's in their 50s and they own a business and their life is really complicated. The first step is to take an inventory. And I look at it like, what's in your closet? And the example I give in my book is working with a personal stylist when she like opens the door of your closet and they go like, what is in here? And you have things like stuck in the crevices back. And you might have the prom dress you wore in high school 30 years ago, or you might have the suit that you wore to your first interview. You have no idea that it's in there. And I ask people to take an inventory of everything financially. And for me, it's throwing it in a box or giving it to me if a client works with me, but they can do it on their own as well. And I have had people find 401ks that they don't remember that they have from an old employer years ago. I've had people find, wow, my life insurance beneficiary is still my ex-spouse, not my current spouse. I never changed it. I thought I did. So you find and uncover all of these things that maybe you forgot because life just gets in the way and things get complicated. So that's where you start. Okay.
Thank you. What are some potholes that people tend to not think about? Like you mentioned just now, like having the insurance, life insurance in the name of your ex-husband.
It happens. potholes can be a number of things. It can be, I call it bad math. And it's not that people don't know how to do math. They know how to do math. They just don't want to look at it. And they don't want to see what reality looks to them. Like maybe they're not on track for retirement, or maybe there's some speed bump in the way. They don't want to address it. And sometimes they just don't have the tools. So they don't know that it's there, and they don't know that they're facing that, or they could be facing that. So being aware of the risks out there for your retirement. Another, if you want to call potholes, is not understanding or having the tools to judge inflation. If you're 40 years old and you have to plan for 40 or 50 years, how do you factor in inflation, right? Taxes, because tax law changes. How do you factor in that? Especially if you have somebody who owns a business and they're relying upon their business to provide money for their retirement, you have to look at, what will I get after tax from my business? Those are some of the common potholes, as you say.
Thank you. What are some things that entrepreneurs should put in place in terms of, let's say they have a business or multiple businesses that are currently running, and then what should they be putting in place for retirement? Imagine that they don't want to be running that business anymore. What are the kind of things they should be putting in place to continuously receive income from that, whether it's either through an exit or through putting maybe someone else in their place to run it?
I think there's a number of things that you could do. Depends on what you want the outcome to be. Some entrepreneurs, when they retire, they just want out and they want to sell. And so in a case like that, I would tell the entrepreneur to surround themselves with the experts. They're very good at what they do, but they need to make sure they have the appropriate CPA for them, the appropriate financial advisor, the appropriate attorney, to give them all the blind spots that they may not even be thinking about, right? If it's somebody who wants to keep the business, they just don't want to run it, they have to identify, or they need to identify, who's going to be their successor, and have some sort of agreement in place. Is it a family member? Is it an outside person? And what's the formula of what that person's going to buy the company for, or what they're going to get out of running the company, and what the entrepreneur is going to get by stepping back? So there's a number of ways you can look at it, but you have to start with, what do you want, and what's your vision?
For those entrepreneurs wanting to sell their business and plan for retirement that way, what sort of things would they need to put in place to make sure they're paying as little tax as possible?
Oh, well, that could be way out of my wheelhouse because I'm not the CPA. However, what I would tell you is that that is a very, very valid thing to be concerned about when you're wanting to exit a business and you really do need to have that CPA on board so you can run different scenarios by that CPA.
Thank you. Please continue.
I was just going to say, because how you structure the sale of the business, whether it's in one calendar year, installment sales, things like that, can affect the tax bracket. And that's where the CPA is really somebody that you would rely on.
Thank you. Would you say that for the ultra wealthy individuals that might come to you, what are the types of things that perhaps their current wealth advisors fail to mention to them that could be quite important?
Well, I'm not sure if I would say it would be something that their current advisors fail to mention to them. And this is a very generic thing, because there's a lot of really good advisors out there. But there's, you know, just like any industry, there's good and there's not as good. But what I have found from the people that come to me, and all of my clients that come to me, had an advisor. So what I find is that they're not getting the contact. They're not getting the face-to-face time with their advisor. They don't hear from them. So there's a disconnect. One of my big things with my clients is I will always tell you, measure your money against the job it needs to do someday. And that job will change, right? So you're constantly needing to measure the money. And so if you have a financial advisor that's just working on the investments and buy this, buy that, you know, this is what we should structure in your portfolio today. If they're not looking at the big picture, there could be a disconnect there. And that's where people will come to me and they'll say, I don't know if I have enough money to educate my kids, take care of my aging parents and retire. And they might have $5 million. They might have $8 million. They still don't have clarity because nobody's measuring the money.
Thank you. What are some of the best practices that you've seen in terms of creating a retirement plan that either you've helped your clients create or that you've seen clients that have come to you already had in place that you thought, wow, that was really good job doing that in terms of like saving, you know, saving money or, you know, putting money in trust? Or were there any specific practices that you thought, wow, these are really great things that people have put in place for their retirement plan?
Well, I think, again, there's a number of things there. The people that come to me that I look and go, wow, look at what you've done. And you've really looked at all the bases. They've looked at their investment picture. And that's usually where many, many people stop. It's like a one-way highway. And they're just solely focused on investments. Get me the best return, the biggest, whatever. But the people that look at how do I protect in case I die too young and I leave my spouse? Is there enough money for my spouse? How do I take care of my parents if they're aging? How do I take care of myself if they're aging? I have a number of highly successful, high net worth single women. And one of my concerns with them, and it could be a single man, just a single person, is you could have all of like the beneficiaries on your accounts and documents in place. But my biggest concern is what happens. And if you're incapacitated, who takes the wheel? You're not, you haven't passed away. You're still here. Who takes the wheel? And that becomes a big concern with my folks that aren't married, that if they've handled that, that kind of rounds out the retirement plan. So it's just, it's all those fringe things with your plan to protect it on top of just making sure you've got the money. Does that make sense?
Yes. Tell us about other ways to protect your wealth that most people don't have in place, but you think are important.
Two things I talk about on my book. You have to get a copy. But two things that I talk about that are near and dear to my heart. Well, one's near and dear to my heart. The other one is just something people should think about. Digital assets. And I find not all attorneys talk about this yet. And it's not that the attorney's bad or whatever, but digital assets are newer on the scene. If you think back, you know, 20, 25 years, this wasn't a big deal. But think about all the things, Lily, that you have digitally. You might have photos, you might have social media accounts, you could have online bank accounts. So the list is endless. My brain just kind of went blank there, but the list is endless. And if something happens to you, somebody has to be in charge of those digital assets. That has to be written in your documents. And not everybody realizes that because it's not the common thing that we always talked about when it came to estate planning. And so I remind my clients when they speak with their attorney to talk to the attorney about including that in the documents.
Thank you. What would you say is the best way for clients to fund their lifestyle for travel, properties, philanthropy without eroding their long-term wealth that they have created over many years?
Build the plan. Build the plan. Literally. And I say that because the lack of clarity for some clients when they come to me is not the fact that they can't think about the types of things they want to do, like maybe vacationing or a second home, what have you. They truly don't know how to put the numbers to it. And so I, as a financial advisor, have access to planning software where I literally can put in all their numbers and show them year by year by year how much money that they're going to need if we include taxes at the current tax brackets, of course, if we include inflation, so we can show what that does to their investments and then how much they're going to need and how much it needs to grow so they don't erode it. And quite frankly, some of my clients want to erode because they don't have children, but we have to safely erode it so that way their money lasts their lifetime.
Thank you. Give us three case studies of entrepreneurs you've worked with. I'm aware that probably you can't share any names, but just like in a generic way, some plans that you put in place with some of your clients that worked in terms of giving them a higher awareness of what they should be doing, or certain steps that were practical that have made a massive impact in terms of their overall plan and what they were able to do with that extra money or that extra outcome that they managed to get as a result of working with you.
There have been a couple of clients, not necessarily entrepreneurs in terms of self-employed, but higher level executives that have stock options. And so in working with them and exiting, it's a matter of working with them and the CPA to exercise the stock options in a way over time to maximize what they're getting out of it and control their bracket. What I look with, I can use my case study, me, because I recently spoke to my CPA and I own an office building. We were having a conversation and I was re-looking at my plan and my personal numbers. And I was looking at what do I want to do with my office building when the time comes in the future when I'm not going to want to work anymore, whenever that may be. And then I went and had a realtor review the building and kind of give me a snippet. And I, unbeknownst to me, said, wow, there's a huge difference in the value of my building if I just sell it outright or if I sell it when it's 100% occupied. There was a massive value difference. So now in my personal plan, I'm going to look at my own retirement someday down the way to make sure my building is occupied when I don't want the building anymore, because that will have a huge impact financially. So it's all those little intricate things. And it just business by the business, it depends on like what your business is made up of and what the components are. So it's just sitting down and talking through that with each person.
Thank you. For people that, for entrepreneurs that have, let's say, multiple businesses in multiple jurisdictions, and also that have hundreds of properties, for example, mm-hmm. what are the types of considerations they should include in their retirement plan?
I think the types of considerations would be to look at the plan out, what do you want to do with the different properties? Hold them or sell them? What would you like to do with the various businesses? Sell them outright or have somebody run them? If you want somebody to run them, you have to find the successor and figure out how you're going to put them in place and have put in the protections around key man if that person's lost and you have to, you know, train a new person, things like that. But you have to look at what the end goal is in every business, because there are a lot of entrepreneurs that they might retire, but they haven't sold the business. They've just stepped away. And then some of the business they might want to sell. And then you need to look at when should you sell each, over what tax years, and how do you stretch that out? And I think on that case, it's a matter of making the spreadsheets and making all the numbers and to see how the math falls and see how you can structure it in a way where it impacts you the least tax-wise.
Thank you. What kind of structures and what kind of structures should someone put in place when they're considering their retirement plan? I'm talking, for example, like trusts or life insurances, or what kind of products should they put in place to make sure that their wealth is protected?
Well, depending upon the level of your wealth, obviously you should look at putting in trusts into place. That goes back to my single client. That goes back to the single client where if you're incapacitated, you have somebody designated to take over for you. But if you have a trust, for instance, I have a married couple, two adult children. They are in retirement, so they've already retired. But in looking at their trust, we had a conversation. One of the children's spouse is not very good with money. And so I said, how are you going to feel if something happened to both of you and that child gets millions of dollars and will be put under undue pressure from the spouse to run through it like water? And they went, oh, we hadn't thought about that. They were completely terrified. Like, you need to talk to your attorney. I think within a week they had it done because they went and talked to the attorney. It's those small things, whether you're self-employed and you're an entrepreneur or if you're employed by somebody, when you build the wealth, you have to build in the ideas of how you want to protect it. And I forgot to mention back a couple questions ago when you said, what are some of the things people should consider to protect themselves? One of the things that is near and dear to my heart when I have clients go to their attorneys to get their estate planning documents, if you have a pet, I always have my clients make a pet trust in their documents, whether it's your pet pig, your pet iguana, your dog, your cat, whatever. Because if you have a pet, chances are you may always have a pet. And that's just I've been in animal rescue for so many years. It's just my pet project for all of my clients with animals, because I see so many people that fail to plan for their pets. And the money might be there when they pass, but their pet is given to a shelter and the shelters are just bursting at the seams. So having that pet trust will designate who can take care of it and set aside the money for it.
Thank you. What kind of insurances should someone consider putting in place to protect their wealth for retirement?
Long-term care, most definitely. Because if a married couple, if either one of you needs long-term care, that financial burden can be huge, huge. So single or married, long-term care, life insurance. And sometimes people don't think about this, but depending upon your wealth, if one spouse passes, you have to make sure the other one has enough. And sometimes one spouse has more pension money, more things coming in that will go away if they pass that the surviving spouse will lose. And so having life insurance that will fit those needs. Sometimes second to die life insurance policies. And a lot of my clients will say, why would you do that? But sometimes something like that would work, where clients want to spend all of their money. They want to spend it all. They want to travel. They want to do all the things. And when their end time comes, they want to know their kids have money to spend, and then they would have that money tax-free. So there's some strategies like that in terms of tax plays and stuff, but it's specific to each person and what they're trying to accomplish.
Thank you. What are the worst case scenarios that you've seen for your clients, or perhaps not necessarily, that played out and you are absolutely horrified to hear this happen because they didn't put certain things in place, such as a retirement plan?
I have one right off the top of my head. The worst that I've seen this a couple of times, where the client comes to me and they have their trust document put together and they're like, oh, my son, what do we want to call him? Joe. Joe is fabulous. If something happens to us, Joe will take care of us. And I had clients 2 years ago in the same scenario. Both became ill, couldn't handle themselves. Their adult son, Joe, moved them closer to him. He took over all of their assets, all of their decision-making. And, you know, Joe knows best. Joe unwound all of the retirement plans they put into place, cashed everything in, took surrender charges, upheaved everything because Joe knew better. And the clients are at the age where they're not competent to stop him. They're not competent to change it. And he just took over and just devastated them financially, undid everything because he didn't understand, but he thought he knew better. And as the advisor, I can't stop Joe because he has legal authority. So some of the conversations I have with clients ahead of time is, your child might be the best child in the world, but they might make the wrong decision. So sometimes you need a professional trustee to maybe be in there together with the child, or in place of the child, just to have a safety net. Because when you're in your time of need, if your child steps up and says, yeah, I can do it, that might be devastating financially. And I've seen that happen.
Thank you. Tell us where entrepreneurs can connect with you.
Entrepreneurs can connect with me by calling my office or sending us an email. Our email address is, I will say this slowly because it's complicated, impavid, which, by the way, impavid is a little known adjective in the English language, which means fearless, which is why I named the book Fearless Finance. impavidwealthadvisors@ampf.com. Or they can simply call our office at 813-319-0011.
Follow us for more interviews with world's most influential business titans, providing you with the insights to awaken to your full potential so you can get paid to be yourself, find true happiness, and manifest anything you desire.